Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vochim Daf Nun Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence from the bottom of Daf Nun Hei Omid Beis. Before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at the Nosei topic heading that you find in the outside margin. There we've written Chiyuv Tuma Al Hanichnos Tomei Lahar Habayis Einu Elo Al Knisa B'tchum HaZora. The violation of entering the Temple Mount with regard to being in a state of Tumah and thereby suffering the penalty of Kores is true only with regard to one who enters the space called the Azora. The Azora is an area that's surrounded by a wall on the Har HaBayis, measuring 187 by 135 amos. Outside of that, even though you may be on Har HaBayis, it nevertheless does not entail, if one enters it in a state of Tumah, does not entail a Chiyuv Kores with the obligation of bringing a korban if one entered Beshogeg. That is true only with regard to the Azara. And that's the point that the Gemara is going to make. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein Chayovin Mishum Tumah, there is no guilt of Kores or a Chiyuv of Havos Korban Mishum Tumah because of being in a state of ritual impurity, Elo al Oirech Mea Ushmoinim Vesheva al Roichav Mea Ushloshim Vechomesh. With the exception of the area measuring 187 amos, which is an east west dimension, and 135 amos north south. Toni Tano Kame Derav Nachmon. Kol Hoazora Hoisa Kuf Pei Zayin, which is 187. Al Roichav by a width of 135 Kuflamet Hei. Omar Lei, Hochi Omar Li Abba. So Rav Nachman said to the one who was saying over this Tanaic source, said, thusly, Father says, Kagoin ze Kehanim Nichnosim Lisham Va'ochlim Sham Kotshe Kotshim. This area that you just delineated, 187 by 135, is the area that Kohanim enter for the purpose of eating sacrifices that are classified as Kotshe Kotshim, the high-level sanctity. V'shochtem Shom Kotshim Kalim, and that's the area that's assigned for the slaughtering of the lower-level sanctity, Korbonas. V'chayovin Mishum Tumah, and that area if entered in a state of Tumah, would generate guilt. And when we say generate guilt, we mean would generate a penalty of Kores. Limute mai, what is being excluded? Ilem o limute chaloinos dalsois vuve hachoima, if one is to think that we're coming to exclude windows and doorways and wall thickness, Tanina, we have a Tanaic source that says to the contrary, that those are sanctified. Hachalonos v'uvei hachoima ke lifnim. The windows and wall thickness, the area of the that's in the thickness of the wall, is ke lifnim, is judged as having the sanctity of inside, the higher level azora sanctity. Ve'ela limute l'shochos. Rather, when we said above that the area that's Chayav Mishum Tumah and available for Shritas Kochim and Achilas Kochim Kochim, that's that area of 187 by 135 is coming to exclude the Lishachos, the offices that open into that open or that are present, we'll say, that are built into the walls around the Azara. E benuyos bechol upsuchos lakodesh, if the lishka protrudes into the area of Har Habayis, which is outside the wall of the Azara, but its entranceway is from the Azara, then v'hotnan tochan kodesh, then we classify them based on the fact that their entrance, the entrance to the Lishka, is through the Azara. From the Azara you walk into the Lishka, which is albeit built outside, protruding outside the wall of the Azara, that nevertheless doesn't diminish from its sanctity level. So what are we excluding when we said that the area of Azara is limited to 187 by 135? The Gemara answers, well, it is coming to exclude these lishkas. Midrabonon, that which it says here that their halal, or the area contained within the lishka is classified as its interior is classified as kodesh, that's only rabbinic. That's a stringency. But as far as on the Torah level at this point, it's thought that they do not have the Azara sanctity. As you can see, we now have a triangle, and this generates the need to explain the role of the triangles that will be appearing. As you skim down the page, you can see the triangles will be flipping back and forth in their position. So in the outside margin, you see the Nosei Mivneh heading. The triangle in this case is used as a ma'akav, a means of keeping track of the discussion. With the point facing up, those will be kushios, questions, and with the point facing down, tshuvos, answers. Birur dinom shel shochos. We're going to try to clarify the status of these offices. Im yesh lehem din azora legabi tuma, do they have a status, an azora status, with regard to tuma, v'achilas kodshe, kodshim, v'shchitas korbonos, and with regard to the ability to eat in them the high sanctity level sacrifices, which would include menachos as well, and can I slaughter in those lishachos? So the Gemara proceeds from the last point that was made, that their interior sanctity is only rabbinic. The Gemara asks a question that is a long question. You can see we've labeled it with a long question marking. The kuf that's encircled represents a kushia with a vertical dashed line that follows. This you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. All of the lines opposite this dashed line are part of the question. So the Gemara asks, Udo Raisa lo, and on a Torah level, on a Doraisa level, are they not the Kedusha Sazora? The Hotanya, we have the following Tanaic source. L'shochos benuyos b'chol psuchos l'kodesh. This is the situation that we are involved with, where the actual structure is built outside the Azora, but the entranceway is there. It's built outside the Azora, but attached to the Azora wall, the entrance being through the Azora. One goes from the Azora into the Lishka. So that's called Benuyos Bechol. They're built in the mundane, meaning outside the Azara, and Psuchas Lekodesh, but opening to the Azara. Minayin Sheha Kohanim Nichnosim Lisham. From where do we know that the Kohanim enter those? The Oichun Sham Kodshe Kodshim Ushori Mincha, that the Kohanim are entitled to eat the high level sanctity sacrifices and the meal offerings as well. After the shiori is a reference to the leftover, but really it means after the koimetz was offered, the handful of the meal offering was offered on the mizbeach, that which remains is called shirayim. So the shiori mincha, which are treated as kodshe kodshim, from where do we know that they can be eaten in these lishachos? Talmud lomar b'chatzar moed yochlua. That's a posuk. Hatura ribsa chatzeros harbei le'achila. The Torah includes other areas, so to speak, other than the basic Azara. Something else is being included, and we're trying to say that the lishkos are being included. The Gemara responds, Omar Rova, le'achila shaini. The posuk is marbe le'lishkos, and marbe we say chatzeros harbei. That's with regard to eating alone. Eating is different. Avol, question. Le'inyan tuma lo, but with regard to tuma, are you telling me that they don't have azora sanctity level? V'hotanya, we have the following source. You could see it's enclosed in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system. Lishkois habnuyos l'chol u'psuchos l'kodesh. The same situation as we just described, where they open into the azora, even though they're built facing out the azora. Koinim enter there and eat the kochi kochim. V'ein shochatim shom kochim kalim. It's not available for. It's not a place suitable for the slaughtering of the lower level sanctity sacrifices. However, v'chayovin mishum tuma. We see here that there is a tuma prohibition in those lishkois. So why did he say just before this that the lishkos are considered azor only with regard to achila? Here we see that with regard to tuma as well. The Gemara rejects this and says, lav amris ein shochtim. Does it not say in this source that one does not sacrifice there? Therefore, it shows you they don't have azora sanctity. Toni nami, so explain or re-explain this source as ein chayovin, whereby that which it says, mishum tuma, it should really read, ein chayovin mishum tuma. The Gemara asks, Bishlamo ein shochtim. I understand that the lishka is not available, is not suitable for slaughtering. Bo'ino keneged ha-pesach v'leko. Because part of the requirements as far as location suitable for shechita, one has to be opposite one of the openings to the hechal. And if one is in the lishka, so it's quite likely that he's not opposite one of the openings of the hechal. Elo ein chayovin amai, but why would you choose to learn in the source just above that he's not chayav mishum tuma? The Gemara responds, Ule tameich ein shochtim, and according to you that you felt that ein shochtim is reasonable with regard to the lishkos, milo askinon deko shochit keneger pesach. Are we not talking about a case where he's in the lishka at a point that he in fact is opposite one of the entranceways, one of the openings to the heichal, and still it's telling me you cannot shech there? De'i shelo keneged ha-pesach, if he's in the lishka and he's not opposite one of the openings, l'mayitzterich, then there would be, for what would I need to be told, angel, that would be very obvious. Elo afagav dekos shochet keneged ha-pesach, even though he's slaughtering in the lishka opposite one of the openings of the heichal, in other words, directly opposite wherever he is in one of these lishkas, we're talking about a case where he's at a point opposite one of the openings into the heichal. Toni ein shochtim. It teaches nevertheless a prohibition of shechting in the lishka, indicating that it does not have azora kedusha with regard to shechita. Mishum dalo kaddish, because it doesn't have the right sanctity, the enough sanctity. Taninami ein chayovim. We will also be able to understand or to change the text of the original source and say ein chayovim mishum tuma for the same reason that we're saying ein shochtim, insofar as that it does not have the sufficient kedusha required, the sufficient azora kedusha required to generate a guilt for tuma. Question. Before we raise this question, just let us take note of the arrow that we have. There's an arrow that is parallel, one finds above, pointing to a line where it says HaTorah Ribsa Chatzeres Harbe La'achila. The Gemara is now based on that asking a question, U'la'achila, and the question itself you can see is lasts several lines. We have a long question marking to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text, U'la'achila Lo'i Bo'inon Keneged HaPesach. And with regard to achila, do we not also require Keneged HaPesach? Above, we said, well, achila shayni. In other words, the standard we apply to achila is seemingly not the same standard that we apply to shechita. By shechita, we know that you have to be keneged pesach. It was implied above that achila is different in so far as the Torah was marbe chatzeros harbe. So the Gemara is asking, ulachila lo bo'inon keneged pesach v'hotanya. We have the following source: Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yuda Omer, shnei pishpishin hoyu bebeis achalifois. There were two openings in the western wall of the ulam. This was a point of discussion that we discussed in our previous shiur on Daf Nun Hey Omid Beis. We have charts and diagrams over there indicating where this was, these Shnei Pishishim and Beis HaChalifos. The maskon of the Gemara there was it was in the southwestern and the northwestern corner of the Ulam wall. There were these two openings. Govan Shmoina Kedei Lahakshir Sazora. Their height of the height of these openings was 8 amas in order to enable the Azora to be available Lachilas Kodshe Kodshim Ulishchitas Kodshim Kalim. You can see we've dashed underlined the word Lachilas, showing that for Achila one also needs to be Kenegera Pesach. Omar Ravina Sami Mikan Achila. Eliminate from this source the expression lachila, in showing that the pishrishim were not necessary to enable achila to take place, because achila doesn't have a pesach requirement. Question: v'hoksiv, but does it not say in the case or in the context of the miluim? This was the time that the mishkan was being dedicated for the first time in the midbar. And it says there, Bashlu es habosor, pesach ol moed, v'shom tochlu oso, which would indicate that achila is associated with the pesach, with the opening. And what we've done with our markings, we've dashed underlined the expression pesach and the word tochlu. The Gemara rejects this as being a question. Kotshe shoh shiny, the way we treat non-permanent type korbanos, non-constant korbanos, those are kodesh shah, that was a one-time event, those are different. That's a gzeres hakosov, as Rashi says, that they need to be keneged pesach. But kodesh doros, sacrifices and their consumption for future generations, that was something that is every generation after generation phenomenon, that is included in the what was stated above, b'chatzer moed, ator ribso chatzer harbe lachila, from which we learn that one doesn't have to be really keneged pesach for achila. So what we've seen from this sugya is that with regard to the lishkos, we can consider them of a sufficient kedusha level for the purpose of eating. That's exeris hakosuv. But as far as the ability to shecht in their korbanos, or to say that one would be chayav mishum tuma within there, that we're not going to say. The lishkos will not have kedusha zazora. Omar of Yitzchok bar Avudimi, minayin ledam shenifsal b'shkiyas achama. Blood that was not sprinkled on the mizbeach before sundown, after sundown, it's no longer fit for zrika, for sprinkling. Rashi adds a detail here, that in general, there's something called a psul lina, that if something is left beyond its assigned time, it's rendered unfit. There's an exception to that, and that is with regard to items that are brought to the top of the Mizbeach. Things that are on the top of the Mizbeach are not ruined by the passage of the assigned time. That, however, is not true with regard to Dam. In other words, if Dam was brought to the top of the Mizbeach before sundown, and then the sun set, it doesn't help that the dam was b'roish hamizbeach to allow the dam to be sprinkled the next day. So from right now, the Gemara is asking, from where do we know this din? The dam is nifsal b'shkias achama. And this is what we've written in under our no say heading in the outside margin. Let's continue in the Gemara itself. The question having been asked minayin, from where do we know this? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "B'yoyim hakrivoi es zivchoi ye'ochel." This pasuk is from Sefer VaYikra, Perek Zayin, pasuk Tezayin, and we've written on the side of the Gemara the pasuk. It says in its entirety, "V'im neder oy nedava zevach korbono b'yom hakrivoi zivchoi ye'ochel umimocharos v'hanosar mimenu ye'ochel." The Gemara now darshens this pasuk and says, "B'yoyim shata zoyveach ato makriv." The day on which you slaughter the sacrifice, that's the day, that's the time for its hakrova. And its hakrova is a reference to the blood sprinkling. "B'yoyim shi'i ato zoveach, i ato makriv." If you're on a day other than the day you slaughtered, if the day that you slaughtered passed, the sun set, so it becomes what's considered another day, so it's not the daytime anymore, the daytime of when you slaughtered, so i'atomakriv, you can no longer sprinkle the blood. Before we go further, we notice immediately a geometric form. We have a house form, and this is explained in the outside margin, mivneh. Kushios v'hatzois shoinois. Questions and alternative suggestions. Al havas posuk vayikrazayin posuk tezayin kemokol anal. With these are questions or alternative suggestions with regard to the role of the posuk that we just brought, the posuk biyom hakrivoi, as a source for dam being nifsal b'shkias achama. So the Gemara here is asking, but that posuk is haimi boyalei le gufei. That posuk is needed for itself, which means to teach me the Zman Achila of Shlomim. What's the Zman Achila of Shlomim? Today, the day that is slaughtered, and the next day, and of course the intervening night. And that's what it said in the Pasuk, and that's why we had written the Pasuk on the side of the Gemara. You can see it also on the side of this Omid as well. The Pasuk says, V'im neder o nidava, Zeva korbono biyom hakriva zivcho yeochel, the day that it's offered, you eat it, umi mocharos, vanosu mimenu yeochel, and the next day as well, it is suitable for being eaten. So is the pasuk not used up already for the gufei to tell me the span of time available for eating the korban? And it's not here to teach me about the dam becoming posel after shkia. The Gemara answers, Im Kain, and we have a double underline highlighting the expression Im Kain, and it's explained the outside margin Mivneh, Im Kain Tshuvos L'Sheilos Hanal. These will be responses to the questions that are being raised. So the Gemara answers Im Kain, Neimo Kro B'Yoyim Zivcho Ye'ochel. It doesn't say that. It says, "Biyom hakrivo es zivcho." If the pasuk was here to teach me simply about span of time available for eating, it would have said, "Biyom zivcho ye'ochel." Hakrivo lomali, the presence of this word hakrivo, what is its role? Shma mino. It is here to teach me that which we said on Amud Aleph, namely, "Biyom shato zoveh hato makriv." On the day that you slaughter the animal, that's when you do the sprinkling of the blood. B'yoyim shi'i ato zoveach, I ato makriv. If it's not the day that you did the slaughtering, then don't do the sprinkling. The Gemara asks, you see again a house form, V'dilmo hochi koma rachmona, maybe with regard to the posuk, and taking into consideration the issue of the word hakrivo, maybe what the pasuk is trying to tell me is as follows. Ikoriv dam ho'idna, if you sprinkled the dam today, then nisakil basar idno lemachar. Then the meat can be eaten today and tomorrow. Ikarev dam lemachar. If you offered the blood the next day, which would be, of course, an approach suggesting that the dam is not nifsal b'shkia sachama, rather it was left over till the next day, and that's when you sprinkled it. Nisakil basar lemachar liyomar achra. Then the meat would be eaten from tomorrow, starting tomorrow, and the next day. Maybe that's the role of the pasuk. And from this we, of course, do not see that the dam is nifsal balina. So the Gemara answers, im kain, neim akra, b'yoyim hakrivo ye'ocheo. But it doesn't say that. It says in the pasuk, b'yoyim hakrivo es zivcho ye'ocheo. Zivchoi lamali, the presence of the word zivcho, what is its role? Shmamina, it's to teach me what we've been trying to get across all along. B'yoyim shata zoveach ato makrivo. If it's the day that you did the slaughtering, then you do the sprinkling. B'yom shiato zoveach, iato makrivo. If it's not the day that you did the slaughtering, then you cannot sprinkle the dam. And that would be the case of it being left over beyond shkia. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form with regard to our daf. We have a diamond, and on the outside margin, we have a nosei, mivneh, we have a topic heading and structural note accompanying this sugya. You see the diamond in the outside margin, shnei mikrim, two cases, hamityachasim l'or shlishi, that will have relevance to the nighttime before the third day, namely, lailo achre yoim hasheni. We've spoken about the Kotshim Kalim having 2 days in the intervening night available for eating them. So we're going to talk about what's called Lior Shlishi, the Kotshim Kalim, with regard to the lower level sanctity korbanos, like a korban shlomim. What are the two cases? We'll have Hamechashev Lior Shlishi. That is a situation where a person has a machshava. While he is slaughtering the korban, he intends, let us say, he intends to eat the meat on the second night. That's the night before the third day. When we talk about the third day, we're starting with the, as our starting point, day one is the slaughtering day. Then there is the next day. That's called Yom Sheni, the second day. And we're now talking about the period after the second day time, namely the night that follows the second day, approaching day three. That nighttime period, let us say one had a machshava concerning what's called Or Shlishi. Or is as a term used as a reference to night. You see this also at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, where it talks about the time for checking out chometz, or labosar. And there in the Gemara, Rav Yehuda explains that Or means nighttime. So that's one case. That's called a machshava with regard to Or Shlishi. Another issue the Gemara will deal with is eating of the meat, eating of korban meat, of korban of korche kalim that has 2 days available for eating. What about that second night? The Gemara, Itmar, Hamechashev l'or shlishi. When one is slaughtering a shlomim, he has in mind the second night, which is the night before the third day. Chizkiah mar kosher. Chizkiah says that does not render the korban posel mishum pigol of what we call chutz lizmano. It's not considered outside the time bounds. Rabbi Yochanan omar posel. Rabbi Yochanan says that it does invalidate the korban. Chizkiah mar kosher. At this point, the Gemara goes over the two opinions, and we've used a squiggle on the line at this point to highlight their names. Chizkiah omar kosher daha lo intik l'sreifa. The reason it's viewed as valid, meaning that the korban is not ruined, is because that is not a time, namely that second night is not a time available for the burning of the meat. Rashi says, "Delo intikle mizmano legamri." It's not completely disconnected from its kosher time. Liozman srefaso achshav ad safra. The burning time for what's called the leftover meat is not from that second night, but rather it's till the morning afterwards, what we call the third day. Sonya Kedisanya Lekamon Mishmatin. The Brisa will be featured later in the sugya that proves this. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Omar Posel Daha Idchi Le'Me'achila. The night before the third day, that Or Lishlishi, is considered a time of psul machshava. In other words, if while slaughtering a korban shlamim one thinks about eating the meat on that second night, it would ruin the korban because that is a time that is not available for eating. It's not kosher, it's not acceptable to actually eat the meat during that Or Lishlishi. Hence, machshava concerning that time period would generate pigel. Continuing, ha'oichel le'or shlishi. Now, we can assume that everyone agrees that or shlishi is not a time that's kosher for eating kochim kalim. Let us say one did, b'shogeg, he did eat meat of kochim kalim during or shlishi. Chizkimar potter, the lo'intik l'sreifa. Even though it's not a proper time, nevertheless, he's not guilty of a of nosar, which when eaten b'shogeg would generate a korban. So Chizkiah is telling us that that time of Or Shlishi is not considered a time that would generate chiyuv korban. Why? Delo intik l'sreifa, because that's still not a time for the meat to be burnt. So since it hasn't been disconnected from the eating time for the purpose of burning, it doesn't create a chiyuv nosar. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Rabbi Yochanan says, if one eats b'shogeg inadvertently kochim kalim meat during the or lishlishi, the night before the third day, that would generate a chiyuv korban if he ate it b'shogeg. Tanya Kavosi Rabbi Yochanan, we have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan's position. And once again, we'll be focusing on how we view the or shlishi. Kochim hane'cholim liyoy mechod. Kochim that have one day available for their eating. Mechashvin. Mechashvin is a reference to improper thoughts that would generate a psul in the korban, which would render the korban invalid. When is that? So, bedomon mishetishka hacham. If one thinks about doing the zrikas adam after sunset of the following the slaughtering, that's considered chutz lizmano with regard to zrikas dam. Ubebsoron uvemimurin. If one has incorrect thoughts regarding the meat and regarding the innards, meat in general, unless you're talking about korban ola, is something that's eaten. The emureim are offered, the innards are offered on the mizbeach. So if one thinks about these things, mishalem u'rashachar, concerning the time period after sunrise, so that if one slaughters them with the kavana to deal with the basar or the emureim after amud hashachar, that would render the korban invalid. Kochim anechol mishneim v'laylo echos. Kochim, that one has 2 days in the intervening night during which to eat them. Mechashvin, the problematic mindset would ruin the korban. B'domen mishetishka chama, this is the same as we saw above, where he has a thought to do the blood applications or blood sprinklings after the immediate sunset. Uveimureim mishelam rashachar, and with regard to their innards, those are expected to be offered no later than the night following the offering of the korban, even if you happen to be dealing with a kochim kalim that has 2 days for eating. Nevertheless, with regard to the emurim, they become posel mishialam rashachar. If they're not on the mizbeach, they're left off the mizbeach till after sunrise, they would be posel. Hence, a machshava concerning that time period, with the thought to offer the emurim after sunrise, that would render the korban posel. Ubevsoron. Now, this is the key point for bringing in of this brisa. Ubevsoron mishetishka hachamo shel shnei yomim. With the onset of the sunset of the second day, That is the Or Shlishi time. If one thinks while slaughtering the korban to eat the meat, he thinks to eat the meat during that time, Or Shlishi, that would render the korban pasul. And that conforms, that shows Rabbi Yochanan's approach to be the more authoritative approach. Before we go on in the Gemara, we are noticing a new Tanaic source with a trapezoid or volcano form featured in it. Let us glance at the outside margin. We see a topic heading and structural note, the Nosei Mivneh, combined. Hanecholim Lishnei Yomim. Those sacrifices that have a two-day span of time available for their eating. Number one, Ad Mosai Mutur Li'ochlon. Until when is it mutter to eat them? And number two, Zman Sreifosan, the time for their burning. Now, we've alluded to these things in our previous discussion. However, here we will be shown the sources for that which we've said earlier. Tana Rabbanan, Yochol Yu Necholim Li'or Shlishi. Could it be that Kodshim Kalim, that have a two-day time period available for their eating, that they can be eaten also the night following the second day, Vidinhu? We should arrive at a conclusion through logic. Zvochen Necholim Liyom Echad, Zvochen Necholim L'Shnei Yomim. We know there are sacrifices that have one day available for their eating, Kodshei Kodshim, and we have sacrifices that are eaten over a span of 2 days. Ma Zvochem HaNecholim Liyom Echad Lailo Achrehem. Just like in the case of the one-day sacrifice eating, we have the night that follows their slaughtering is available for eating. Once again, the night that follows the day. If we say that the day that they're slaughtered is appropriate for their being eaten, we also know that the night following that available day is included. So, af zvochem hanecholim l'shnei yomim. So too, when you have a two-day korban eating time for a korban, it would follow logically that lailo achrayim, the night following that allowed day, and if it's the second day, that would then include the second night as well, that the night should follow. Well, we don't say that, but that's based on a pasuk. Talmud Lomar v'anoisar ad yoim. And from that we darshan, v'oid yoim hu nechal, while it's still daytime, it can be eaten. V'eino nechal l'or shlishi, but once the darkness sets in, the night after the second day, it no longer can be eaten. Yochol Yisoreif Miyad. Could it be that these korbanos, that are these, what we call the Necholim L'Shnei Yomim, should be burnt immediately after the allowed time period lapses, namely, the nighttime after the second day, is that the time for their burning? So, logically, we will come to one conclusion, and then we will see that this logical approach is not accurate based on a posuk. So what does the logic say? V'din hu. Zvochen necholim liyom echad, zvochen necholim lishnei yomim. We have those kind of sacrifices that have a one-day time period, and those that have a two-day time period. Ma zvochen necholim liyom echad, tekef l'achilas reifa. Just like in the case of the one-day kind of korbanos, when does the sreifa take place? It takes place as soon as the achila time lapses. So that if you have a kodshei kodshim, for example, you have the day that it's slaughtered and the following night available for its eating. When are they burnt? Immediately the next morning. That next morning is the time immediately after the d'oraisa eating time. We mentioned d'oraisa because we saw in the Mishnah that the eating stops at chatzos, but that is only midorabonan. But midoraisa, the eating really does take place all night until the morning. When the morning hits, burn it. That's true with regard to kodshei kodshim. So let us apply that af zvoch mechom l'shneilim. So too with regard to sacrifices that have a two-day time period for eating. Let us say tekef l'achilas reifa. Immediately upon the lapse of the eating time, and when is that? That's at the completion of the daytime of the second day. Let us say, take if achilas streifa, right there, at the onset of the night that follows the second day, it should be burnt. But that's not so. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says otherwise. B'yom hashlishi bo'eshi soref. And from this we learn, B'yom atosorfo v'atosorfo b'layla. Burning takes place only during the daytime, not during the nighttime. So you have this interesting interim period with regard to the Kodshei Kalim. Kodshei Kalim have a two-day time period. That intervening night that follows the second day, that night time is not available for eating. On the other hand, it's not suitable for burning the leftover meat either. The Mishnah. Habachor v'maiser. Maiser, we're talking about the maiser behema. That's the tithing of the births of animals that took place in a given year. V'pesach. These three kind of korbanos are kodshim kalim. Shitosim b'chol mokom ba'azora. Their slaughtering can take place any part of the Azorah. V'domon ton matona achas. There is one blood application. V'vad shitein keneged ha'yesod, provided it's at a point of the mizbeach under which there is yesod. Shino ba'achilason. Even though these korbanos have been paralleled with regard to the application of the blood, there is a difference with regard to issues concerning their consumption. Habachor nechal kohanim, v'maiser l'chol adam. The firstborn animals, which are a sacrifice, those are eaten only by the kohanim. It's a gift to the kohanim exclusively for kohanim consumption alone. Maiser, however, maiser behema, when it's slaughtered, it's to be eaten by all. V'necholim b'chol ha'ir, b'chol ma'echol l'shneyam v'layla echad. With regard to these points, they are similar, that they can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. There's a two-day time period available for their eating. However, that's true with regard to the Bechor and Meiser. HaPesach, the Pesach is different. Eino nechal ela balayla, v'eino nechal ela ad chatzois. It's eaten only during the nighttime. Namely, it's not eaten during the day that it is slaughtered. That's a major deviation from the way we view other korbanos. It's eaten, you have to wait till the night sets in. Also, you have a much more limited time period with which to eat it until chatzos, our Mishnah says, until midnight. The eino nechal elo lemenuyov, it is allowed to be eaten only by those that were assigned to it before they were slaughtered. That's with regard to the Pesach. The eino nechal elo tzoli, and it's eaten only in a roasted form, as opposed to other korbanos where you had more latitude. Man tana, who is the tana that holds that Meiser and Pesach are their dam, their blood applications are through the Zrika method. Zrika is a situation where you toss the blood from standing at a bit of a distance from the Mizbeach and splashing, if you will, the blood in the direction of the Mizbeach. That's as opposed to something else called Shvicha, where one stands close to the Mizbeach and pours the dam out toward the Yesoid. So, who is the author of our Mishnah that links the Bechor, the Meiser and Pesach to the Bechor? In the case of Bechor, it may be noted that the Torah mentions Zrika in an explicit fashion. And we see in our Mishnah, the three are linked together. The Mishnah said that there are differences with regard to their eating, which implies that with regard to the blood application, there is no difference. And with regard to the Bechor, we mentioned, there it says, and Rashi quotes the Pasuk, V'es domam tizroik, which is a blood application from the distance, a splashing action toward the Mizbeach. So who is the Tana that says that the same thing will apply to the Meiser and Pesach as well? And when we ask the question, who is the Tana, we're really saying, who is the author of our Mishnah? Omar Rav Chisda answers, he says, Rav Yossi HaGlili Hi. This is in accordance with Rav Yossi HaGlili, as opposed to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael holds that the Pesach is applied through a Shvicha method, through a pouring method. Our Mishnah implies that the Pesach is, the Pesach together with the Meiser is like a Bechor through the Zrika method. Who holds that? Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Desanyo, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, Omer. Chelboi loy nemar, in the pasuk concerning the Bechor, the word chelbo, its fats, which is something offered on the altar, is not stated in the singular. Elo chelbom, rather, it's stated in the plural. So you have a pasuk concerning the bechor with the word chelbom appearing, which is a plural expression. Domo lo ne'emar elo domam. Likewise, blood appears in the pasuk in the plural. So that it seems, according to Yosef Glili, that some other kinds of korbanos beyond bechor are being alluded to. Limei, this teaches me al bechor u'maiseru pesach sheteunim matan domim ve'murim legabi mizbeach keneged hayisod. From this pasuk, we learn that in addition to the bechor, the maiser and pesach require blood applications and innards being offered on the mizbeach. And the blood applications is over a point at which there is a base. The Gemara at this point wants to clarify from where do we know that it is Kedegen HaYesod. Minolon, from where do we know the idea that the blood must be applied above a point at which there is a Yesod, a base of the Mizbeach? When we talk about this, bear in mind previous Gemaras, this would exclude the southeastern corner of the Mizbeach, and we can even add to that most of the southern side and most of the eastern side as well, because at that point of the Mizbeach there is no Yesod. Omar Eliezer, Asya Zriko, Zriko Me Oila. We have a word comparison, Gzera Shava, from the Korban Ola. The Gemara wants to know, V'Ola Gufa Min Ola, the Ola itself, from where do you know that it must be at a point that the blood applications of the Ola at a point that there is a Yesod underneath. Tichtiv El Yesod Mizbach Oila. Limeid Al Oilas Choyva Shetuuno Yesod. From the pasuk that says El Yesod Mizbach Ola, we learn that an Ola, an obligatory Ola offering, requires Yesod for the blood to be sprinkled. The Gemara asks, well, if you're learning from the Ola, then Ima Lahalon Shtei Matonah Shein Arba Afkan Shtei Matonah Shein Arba. If just like by the Ola, we know there are two applications of blood which reach the four sides of the Mizbeach, so too are you going to say the same thing by Bechor, but we know the Bechor has only a singular blood application. Omar Abaye. Abaye answers, Loma li lemichtav soviv ba'ola. The word soviv is a word literally means around, indicating four sides. So why does the Torah write soviv by ola, soviv b'chatos, and it also writes soviv by chatos? Havu shnei k'suvim bo'im k'echad. This creates a situation where you have two topics, or two psukim that teach me the same thing, namely four-side blood application in the case of Ola, and four-side blood application with regard to Chatos. Whenever you have a situation like this where the same halacha applies to two stated topics, we say that the idea of Saviv, in this case four-side application, applies to those examples specifically, and from them we do not learn to other things. Namely, the soviv concept is applicable to an ola and a chatos, and not to the bechor, not to other things. Hani cholaman domer ein malamdin. That's a fair conclusion. If you hold that shnei sumer echad, the two psukim that come to teach me the same thing, or the same concept, are not a source for other topics. But there is an opinion that says that Shnei Suvim Boim Le'echad could serve as a basis for other topics. So from where would we know then that the Bechor does not have any more than one blood application? The Gemara answers, Havi Osham Shlosha. In the case of the Osham, the Torah also mentions Saviv, mentions the idea of four sides of the Mizbeach receiving Osham blood. Ushlosha, when you have three topics containing the same halacha, Vadai Ein Melamdin, it's clear according to all opinions, from them, they do not serve as a precedent for anything else. And hence the idea of Sofiv is limited to Ola, Chatas, and Osham, and not extended to anything else, and as far as our topic is concerned, and not extended to the Bechor. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.